The Marching Round Table is proud to be an official media partner of Drum Corps International.
This podcast is sponsored by Envision 3D Drill Design Software, found at box5software.com. This is Tim Hinton, and I recently had the great honor to spend 3 days at the Arcadia Music and Arts Symposium in Arcadia, California, hearing presentations from educators, composers, designers, and overall passionate people working in music and the marching arts. This podcast is one of 12 that I recorded while I was there, and in this podcast, I sat around the table with 4 college professors who are working at the very highest level. We talked about how to pursue a career in music.
Maybe it really begins with the idea of what does it mean to be a musician?
Yeah.
And expanding this idea of that, well, I'm a trumpet player, and therefore I'm a musician. Well, you know, maybe there's more to it than that.
Quite a bit more. Mm-hmm. Could you imagine the shock that many parents must have when their high school child comes up and says, I want to major in music, and how panicked they are. What are you going to do with a music degree? You might as well be majoring in Renaissance Latin poetry. It's going to be useless. Yeah. and sort of talk the parent down that there are viable career options with a music degree, or sort of that notion of, well, music degree, I'm worried that my child is going to have too much free time in college because they're only a music major and don't realize they're going to be busier than just about any other major. Right.
Great information from the Arcadia Music and Arts Symposium, shared here on the Marching Roundtable. This podcast is brought to you by Envision 3D Drill Design Software, found at box5software.com. Envision 3D Drill Design Software is the only true 3D drill design software available for marching bands, winter guards, indoor percussion groups, and drum corps. If you write drill or design for marching music groups, Envision enables you to plan and execute shows that push the creative boundaries of your show designs. Download your free version at www.box5software.com and see for yourself. Hey, everybody. Welcome to the Marching Roundtable Podcast. This is Tim Hinton recording live at the Arcadia Music and Arts Symposium. I'm excited to be recording with a table of college gurus of extraordinary talent and learnedness.
Well, we'll see about that.
You have a little drone playing with some.
So you guys just did a presentation, and everybody that's at home listening, why aren't you here? You should be here. But anyway, we're going to give you a taste of what the kind of presentation that these guys just did. I'm going to have them introduce themselves, starting here with the man on my left.
This is Larry Stoffel. I'm director of bands and professor of music at California State University, Northridge.
Hi, I'm Emily Moss, and I'm the director of bands at California State University, Los Angeles, where I'm also the chair of the music department.
Hi, I'm James Rosillo, and I'm from Riverside City College. I'm the director of the marching band, conductor of the concert band, and one of the jazz ensembles.
And I'm Kyle Luck, and I'm the director of bands at Pasadena City College.
Thank you guys for being here, and thank you for taking time at the end of a long day to talk with us. And so you just did your session, which was titled Reshaping School Music Education, Collegiate Faculty Perspectives. Quite the title. So we're going to take just one of the topics from the session that you discussed and talk about it here. And I'm going to read the question first, and then Dr. Moss, if you'll take it from there.
Sure.
So here it is. What would it take to ensure that students that want careers in music can do so and be successful? Dr. Moss, take it away.
Well, I would start by saying, first and foremost, that encouraging students that music is actually a viable career path is a really great place to start. We happen to be in a day and age right now where having a clear professional career end goal in mind seems to be driving a lot of students and their parents, and particularly careers that result in lucrative endeavors. I'm speaking of STEM fields and business and on my campus, even television, film, mm-hmm. and media studies. It seemed to be very popular because it seems to be fields that they can go out and make a living. So I would say starting with that, hey, music is a great field of study And yes, you can actually make some money in it, mm-hmm. whether it be teaching or otherwise. And that if that's something that you want to do, if that's what you're passionate about, not to discourage that, but to say, go for it.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, great start.
Well, once we encourage them and get them to be at that point, I think our job, you know, is not only to encourage them, but also to prepare them and give them the tools to get out there. And that is our primary job, is to give them all the tools possible once they get out there. Some of our guys are going to be, you know, performers. Others are going to be teachers. You know, some are going to do both. The majority are actually going to do both. They're going to go ahead and do that. So how do we prepare them? First of all, we got to give them the right pedagogical tools, how they play their instrument, how to be successful on that. But not only to be successful on their instrument, those who want to teach, how to go ahead and give the right information to other instruments and be able to know that and make sure that they're being informed of that. We got to give them the opportunity to play multitudes of literature. We just have to, in different idioms, not only in classical, but in jazz as well. Dr. Stoffel mentioned earlier, you know, music that is further than just 15 years. You know, I mean, going as far back as possible and coming into the modern era, so they have a broad range of literature they're familiar with. The more literature they're familiar with, the better prepared they're going to be in the end. Give them opportunities to go ahead and create their own music. You know, mm-hmm. give them opportunities for that. We talked about that earlier, where a lot of these guys are going to go out there and they're going to be in pure run ensembles, you know, jazz quartets, you know, jazz ensembles or modern music or even small chamber groups, things like that, where they can go ahead and compose, lead them, correct themselves, you know, lead their own rehearsals. That's a whole nother thing. When you go ahead and there's not the teacher in front of you and all of a sudden it's like, well, we have this quintet of a group. And you're looking at each other, it's like, well, how do we run this kind of thing? We can all play. What do we do? You know, there's always been somebody in front of us to teach us how to do that. How do they become their own best teacher to go ahead and make that happen? And the other is, the last thing is, like I said earlier, give them the opportunity to write and compose their own melodies, their own music kind of thing. Because that's what a lot of them aspire to do. And just us provide those opportunities.
That sounds really great. But I have to tell you, it sounds like a lot. I mean, can you guys do that? Can you get them to do all of that?
The bachelor's degree in music, regardless of an area of emphasis, say music education or performance or composition, but the fundamental bachelor's degree of music is a dense degree, especially compared to many, if not most, other bachelor degrees in other subject areas. It's not uncommon with a traditional bachelor's degree for many subjects outside of music, which the first 2 years of coursework will be a liberal studies mm-hmm, or general mm-hmm. education coursework, and it's not until the upper division that the student begins in earnest the coursework for the specific major. In music, that's not the case. You begin with a music core coursework every semester, yeah. beginning in the fall semester. So it's a dense degree over the course of the traditional 4-year plan.
So I'm this is Emily again. I'm going to go back to something James just said about the creation of things beyond just your instrument, working on your instrument. And I just want to add to that. We talked a lot in the session earlier today about fundamentals and the importance of having a solid foundation of fundamentals. I just think if anybody's going to do this thing that is music, they've got to be really good. Mm-hmm. I know that sounds so simple, but the endeavor that is becoming a musician is a long range mm-hmm. thing,
a lifelong
mission. Mm-hmm. And you have to really want to be good at it. Mm-hmm. And you're being really good at your instrument is just the start. How about also being able to sing? This is a big thing of mine, you know, especially mm-hmm. instrumentalists. You know, we have this like, well, I don't sing, you know. Well, you're a musician. You should.
Yeah.
You should be able to sing. You should be able to create. You should be able to sit down at the piano and, you know, it doesn't have to be great, but just plunk around a little bit and do music in a lot of different ways. Learn a bunch of different instruments. Figure out how to start your own ensemble. All of those things. Yeah.
I mean, if I'm a student, that sounds intimidating to me. I mean, I'm supposed to be able to compose and sing and, I mean, they can do it?
Well, you don't have to do all those things, but I think it's important that the one thing that a school, a college offers is structure. So it was mentioned by one of our panelists that, you know, if you want to go out and be a professional musician, just go out and be a professional musician. I remember a very fine jazz musician at a clinic saying, you know, there was a time when if you were going to be a jazz musician, you just go to play the clubs, you know. School isn't necessary for that. But that day is gone by now. Most professional musicians that I think of that are making a living as professional players have a structured school, you know, collegiate background where they've studied at some particular school. I think it's really important too, though, that not all schools are equal. I mean, I'm sitting here with a colleague of mine, James Rocio from RCC, and I'm at Pasadena City College, and both schools have very comprehensive music programs.
Outstanding programs.
And I'm here with two colleagues across the table here that are at two of our finest Cal State systems, schools, universities, where they have also diverse programs. That's not the case at every Cal State school, nor is it the case at every community college. So my point is this, that too, one of the things, it's important to make sure students are going to schools that are going to offer them the diversity. And it's important what Dr. Moss was saying, what Emily was saying over there about versatility and expose. I remember when I first started college, I was so narrow-minded. I knew what I wanted to know, and there was, you know. And
I think the students are still like that.
Yes. Well, that's you know, exactly.
That,
and
that
so
hasn't
you talk evolved. about the singing thing that Emily mentioned. I was that student. I'm never going to sing.
Yeah.
Choir. Oh, I'm not going to be a choir. Oh. And I had to take a vocal pedagogy class where I had to get up and sing art songs. And I was petrified, but I had to do it. I wanted to pass the class. And it got me over some of that fear of that. The point of that, of mentioning this, is that my very first teaching job, I was the band director and also the choral director. That was part of the gig. And all of a sudden, I had to learn how to be a choral director. And I was grateful I had that class, but I knew that wasn't nearly enough. But going out and preparing. So I'm trying to, you know, the thing about I'd like to see the students do is really have an open mind about singing in the choir if they're an instrumentalist. Being, you know, learning all of those things, playing in the jazz band if that's, a, you know, an aspect they can get. Because if they're going to be, you know, doing music, versatility is the name of the game now.
You know, maybe going back to the question of what it would take to ensure students can have a career in music, maybe it really begins with the idea of what does it mean to be a musician?
Yeah.
And expanding this idea of that, well, I'm a trumpet player, and therefore I'm a musician. Well, you know, maybe there's more to it than that.
Quite a bit more. Mm-hmm. Could you imagine the shock that many parents must have when their high school child comes up and says, I want to major in music, and how panicked they are. What are you going to do with a music degree? You might as well be majoring in Renaissance Latin poetry. It's going to be useless.
Yeah.
and sort of talk the parent down that there are viable career options with a music degree, or sort of that notion of, well, music degree, I'm worried that my child is going to have too much free time in college because they're only a music major and don't realize they're going to be busier than just about any other major.
Right.
For most, I believe, most people, when they think of music as a career, they envision either being a player, being a performer, or a teacher. And those are the two most forefront professions in the broad range of music. But a performance degree is a versatile degree and is not just intended for those who want to try to make a career in performance. Mm-hmm. And I want to give two specific examples to show the wide range that a performance degree might have. In my hometown, there's a music store, Nick Rail Music, and every single one of the employees in that store, from the manager down to the part-time employees, are all performance majors or have performance degrees. Now, they're effective in their positions because they are first and foremost musicians.
Yes.
And therefore, they can talk to the patron of the store who doesn't know about music and bridge the gap between the two. They still do all their outside gigging work as much as they can take on or want to do. So in this modern era, with any subject outside of music as well, you don't do just one thing. You do multiple aspects. You're an entrepreneur within a realm of a business, in this case being music. I can't remember the study. Perhaps some of you remember. It maybe over 10 years ago now, and I think it was out of the University of Michigan, but there was a study that was done 1 year in which they documented all the applicants to the medical schools of the United States.
Yes, indeed.
And aside from those who had actual science pre-med degrees, what was the most common degree, aside from the science degrees, of those who successfully applied into medical schools? And of course, it was music. It was a bachelor's degree in music.
Wow.
And it reveals that breadth of humanity that music develops and transfers to music and non-music careers.
Well, the thing is, too, is that, you know, what it transfers above all of it, Emily said this earlier, was that, you know, you have to be good to be a musician. You know, you want to be good to be a musician. A simple, like, concept is this. If you're a college student and you're taking, you know, 16 units and you're doing, you know, your math, your English, your history, all this kind of stuff, and you have this crazy schedule and you got a job, if you get an A- in every single class, 90%, you're probably going to be a pretty happy guy if you got all that going on. If we as musicians miss 10% of all of our notes in a performance, it is a travesty. So I think that's the thing that we have to kind of understand. That discipline, that dedication, that higher level of achieving, of course, is going to transfer over because there's a different standard of excellence that's going to transfer anything else that they do because that's the way they've been conditioned.
Take note, professional baseball players and those who deliver weather reports on TV are far more accurate than you are.
So I think it was last year's the Music Advocacy Day in Sacramento. Might have not been last year, might have been 2 years ago. Anyway, a recent advocacy day in Sacramento for California, they had, I want to say the CEO or an upper person in Boeing there to talk about how their recruiting of engineers and other technicians and other fields in Boeing, one of the things that they look for in applications is the study of music. And specifically, he spoke to the fact that what someone who's had a long career in studying music says about that person is that they are committed to something over a long period of time. They have dedication to a task that is going to take years to perfect, and that those are the kinds of skills that they look for in their employees at Boeing. And I just think that's a really profound story. Going along with this, although we started with a specific career in music, maybe a college degree in music won't necessarily end in a career in music, but it provides certain skills that that are certainly valuable.
Mm-hmm. So I don't think everybody knows this. I mean, I don't think parents out there know this. So should we be better advocates for our music programs for these degrees? I mean, these are great examples of things out there that parents want to hear, but I don't think they all know it.
No. No, I would imagine that most parents see music as an opportunity of an activity for their children while their children are in school. It's something that is supplemental, it's extra, but as being a viable career option, I don't believe it's presented that way typically. You know, perhaps that's a good thing because the dedication that is required, that sheer focus and that long-term investment, you really need to want to do this to have a sense of success. And perhaps it's good that those who do decide to pursue it are serious about the pursuit.
Yeah.
Perhaps.
I remember my days at Beat, a high school educator. You know, I was not teaching students to be professional musicians. That was not my goal there. But what I would hope they would have done or would do is to go off and always enjoy music and keep playing their instruments and keep finding ways to make music too. So whether or not they're going to major in music, there are opportunities when they come to a college or university to also keep playing music and make that a part of their lives too. And I don't have any of the background, you know, data to really to draw from, but I remember Joel Leach, who was a professor at Northridge, talking about piggybacking on what Emily was talking about, the degree in music and stuff, that a lot of business like to hire, they don't necessarily always want to hire business majors because they're not as trainable. You know, we talk about music degrees. Musicians are better at adapting and problem solving. It's something we learn as musicians and how to kind of go roll with the punches and so forth. They would talk about that. I mean, I'm going off a little bit, I'm on a tangent there, but there's so many ways that, you know, people can enjoy music and make that a part of their lives, whether it's going to be a career in it or not. And that's an important part of music. I always used to pay me to know some very, very talented students that were musicians, and they would go off to college and they would never play again, you know, and stop playing their instrument. I said, you please keep playing, find ways to make music.
I want to go back to something you just said, Kyle, about the teaching of just the performance of music. We spoke earlier in the session about aesthetics and the importance of our role as music teachers to bring about beauty in our rehearsals every day. Someone mentioned that.
Destiny.
And I guess I would also just want to add that the study of music to me is also about the study of being a human being and how we can use music to relate to one another. And that in this day and age where we find ourselves being so disparate and so disconnected from our fellow human beings, there's something so powerful about coming together as a community and creating beauty and a wonderfully, deeply felt aesthetic experience that I value so much. And I can't imagine my life without it. Beyond training students to perform music and technically speaking, all of that is, you know, bringing out their humanity and bringing out the experience of creating beauty together is such a wonderful thing. And I think we could do an even better job of accentuating that.
One of my earlier high school jobs at Ayala High School, the head director, Mark Stone, he had a mantra that stuck with me. And he always said, we teach people to be better people first and musicians second. And I think, that is, piggybacking on what you just said, is amazing. Because here's the fact. You know, I know a lot of talented musicians that don't get hired because they don't know how to essentially hang in an environment, you know. They don't. I know me personally, I got hired on some gigs where I may have been just a little under, but I was a nicer guy to be around kind of thing. And it's just, let's face it, working in it, going back to how the music degree translates, people in business and anything, they want to work with great people. I have a 15-month-old son, you know, and it's one of the things he's 15 months old.
That's so why you look sleep deprived. Okay,
or yes, I am. Okay. And he's starting to get his own personality. One of the things I always think about when teaching him little things, you know, I was like, no, don't do that. It's like, I want to raise you in the fact that I want to hang around you. You know, I want to raise you raise you to a point where I want to hang out with you later kind of thing. And that's an important factor, that humanity factor she's talking about, is that when you're playing in bands and playing with colleagues and doing all this kind of stuff, you learn to work in a team environment. You learn that entire thing. So if you go out and you don't pursue music, you're going to succeed because you know how to work with people. You know how to complete a task and you know how to be humane. You know, it's a great thing.
And for those who do pursue music, but not the two traditional gigs, jobs of being a player or as a teacher, when you think about all the many music-related career options and management, entrepreneurship, legal work, production, arts administration, all that, and the list just goes on and on and on. I remember one summer earlier when I was a college student, he was the manager for the Los Angeles Philharmonic Summer Institute, a program sadly defunct now, but a performance major as an undergraduate. So he was a musician first, but had great business skill and savvy and organizational skill. He knew how to work with people because his mind and his heart was developed better because he was a musician, but also he knew how to speak among other musicians, other artists, other aesthetically and developed people. It's a wide transferability from the performance alone.
So what you guys are talking about is, not only do we all know about the benefits of being a musician and being in a performing group and all the things that go with that, but I'm hearing you talk sort of off the cuff a lot about there are tons and tons of ways that you can pursue a career in music that aren't the traditional ones that people don't think about. So how do you get that word out? I mean, you just mentioned like 10 right off the bat. But a lot of times I think in the way careers go these days, you end up somewhere completely different than you expected. I mean, I never expected to be recording podcasts, but my musical background is helping me do interviews today at the symposium. So how do we let people know that there are these options outside of the traditional ones?
The more well-known the example that you can provide perhaps will be the more effective example to share. And it's really with parents as well as the students that this information needs to be shared. So if you take something that has a cultural significance or prominence, a better word, say like a TV show like American Idol, in which, yes, the contestants are the celebrities, the three judges are the celebrities, but those people are not the ones who made that show successful. The contestants, the winners, did not make that show successful. It is all the other people that produced, managed, and brought to life the show. The show to life. Those are the people that really made it successful, because if that was not in place, then the celebrity judges, these aspiring contestants, would never have had the platform for them to show off their TV business and become the marketing machine that it was. It's the people who have the understanding of the operations of music, the business.
Mm-hmm. I'm gonna take a slightly different take on it and just say that parents, I think, would be well served to consider that what their students are going to learn, especially at the bachelor's degree level, is how to be a citizen, how to be a member of a community, and how to learn how to think for themselves and to go out and pursue the things that they are passionate about, for which when you're 18 years old, you do not even have any clue whatsoever what that would be. So if music happens to be the thing that drives you to do that, to have that pursuit, great. Mm-hmm. Maybe you're going to go to college and pursue liberal studies or philosophy because you had an experience reading a book that, you know, got you excited to think in a certain way about something. That pursuit is going to lead you down a path that's going to take you somewhere that's meaningful to you. I'm a parent of two children, 8 and 9 and a half. Perhaps I'll feel differently about this when they are 18 and I'm faced with their prospects. I like to think I won't. I like to think I won't, because I believe that my job as a parent is to help guide them down a path where they discover for themselves the beauty of life and the things that are going to wake them up every morning and get them excited to contribute to this world. And that path may be obscure at first, but learning how to learn and learning how to develop yourself as a human being and being among other people that share your pursuits, boy, I mean, as a parent, that's what I hope for my children.
You'll be okay with music with your children, but as long as it's not the Renaissance Latin poetry.
I somehow think that's going to wind up in the Northridge curriculum, because he said it twice already.
It's
going to be in the course catalog.
Yep. Emily makes it a tremendous point here that at the community colleges, at the public universities, and at the vast majority of colleges and universities around our country, these are degree institutions. That is what our students at the undergraduate level are. Mm-hmm. They are receiving a bachelor's degree. It's not just in music. The major is in music, but there's a whole extra component of the curriculum for those bachelor's degrees mm-hmm. in all the other subject areas,
right.
The so-called general education mm-hmm. or liberal art, liberal studies component of it, so that the whole person is educated. And I would dare say, with rare exception, that the vast majority of musicians of any style of pop, classical, anywhere within the sphere of music in our world, that when we look at the truly highest regarded, successful musicians, genuine musicians, they are also highly educated mm-hmm. People as mm-hmm. well. And that is a part of why they are so successful mm-hmm. as musicians.
Absolutely.
They're learned people.
Yep.
Well, there's something to be said for getting your education in something that motivates you, that you're passionate about, right? That's sort of what you're saying too.
Yes, exactly it.
Well, it sounds like, fortunately, we were beneficiaries of having parents that allowed us to go into music and supported us. I know that I can speak for my mother was very supportive of me getting a degree in music, you know, and studying that and not really knowing where that might lead to, of course, and having to deal with some of the stereotypical things of, oh, you're going to be a starving artist or those kind
I'm
of...
going to live in my basement.
Yes. Yeah. Those kind of things, which I actually did come back, I have to say.
That's just California
real estate.
I was
getting my master's. I moved back home for a little bit.
That doesn't count.
Amen.
And my own son, I mean, Emily's talking about her two beautiful daughters and, you know, my son is a freshman in college right now in music. And the thing about it is you can't be great at something unless you love to do it. You can't, you have to love what you do. And it's going to, you know, and my son and I have talked a little about, you know, what the future, I said, you don't know what the future holds. I want you to get the best education you can, make the best out of it, get everything you can out of it. The rest will take care of itself. You know, just, there's always room for excellence. Be the best you can be at it and give it everything you can, and it will take care of itself. I'm a firm believer in that. You know, be ready for opportunities when they come, you know, and give it your very best. But it's a part of, you know, one thing, we love what we do. The four of us here have a passion for what we do. It's never boring being an educator and being in music. Sometimes it's the gamut of emotions at sometimes. But... And there's a lot of joy in it. Maybe not always fun all the time, but there's certainly a lot of joy. And there's a lot of I love what I do as a teacher because it's never the same day twice. It's never boring. My job is never boring.
Here.
Every day it's something, accomplishments, and there's challenges. But with that, you know, there's great reward.
Yeah, you know, a lot of people are out there doing things with their life that they don't enjoy, that they don't find fulfilling. So, wow, there are ways that you can follow your passion in music in ways that you probably would never expect and end up doing something with it. That's very cool. You guys are so smart and so passionate about what you're doing, and I'm so happy to have gotten to talk to you. I'm going to let you each have one final thought. Anything about what we've been talking about pursuing a career in music or about school or whatever.
Regardless if you want to pursue a career in music or another career, make sure that music is always a part of your daily life mm-hmm. as a human being.
That's great. Dr. Moss?
Music can change the world. It's a beautiful thing, and I hope we always have it available to our young people to learn.
Yeah. James?
Keep your ears open. Always listen to music. Different types of music. New music. Old music. Always keep your ears open. Don't shut any type of music out, because something out there is going to affect you. Just always keep your ears open.
Yeah. Well, everybody said is just wonderful. It's be open-minded. Be ready to learn. Be open to learning new things. And just one little quick thing, too, about following your passion about it. You know, don't take a job because it's about the money. Money will never give you that satisfaction. Money will come if you really love what you do.
Awesome. You guys were just wonderful. Thank you so much for talking with me.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Watch for other podcasts from the Arcadia Music and Arts Symposium, including conversations with some of the biggest names in the marching arts. Names like Jim Casella, Sean Vega, Kevin Shaw, Caleb Rothy, Mike Jackson, Steve Ridley, John Mapes, and many more. Find out more about the Arcadia Symposium at arcadiasymposium.com. Keep up with podcasts that are being recorded and when they will be released by following us on Facebook, Instagram, Twitter, and YouTube. And get our biweekly newsletter by signing up for a free VIP membership at marchingroundtable.com. Imagine having your best season ever. You and your staff can learn from Scott Chandler, the program coordinator and choreographer for the Blue Devils, and one of our activity's most successful designers. In the new course, Scott Chandler, Design Advice from Forward March. You can sign up for the online course as an individual, or sign up your entire staff at one lower cost at marchingartseducation.com. Scott shares over 5 hours of great ideas, and we give you practical ways to put the ideas into action with your group right away. Make your staff more effective and your group more successful. MarchingArtsEducation.com. Thanks again to the sponsor of this podcast, Box 5 Software, makers of Envision 3D Drill Design Software, found at Box5Software.com. Thanks again to Tony Nunez and everyone at the Arcadia Symposium for having the Marching Roundtable there to do these interviews, and watch for more podcasts from the event. And thank you so much for listening.
If you're a business that works with band directors, marching bands, color guards, or drum lines, you should consider sponsoring an episode of the Marching Roundtable. Our listeners are the exact audience you're trying to reach, and with thousands of podcast downloads each month, it's a great way to directly reach your target audience. For more information, click on the Sponsorship Opportunities link at marchingroundtable.com or email Tim at tim@marchingroundtable.com. You can grow your business and help support what we're doing here on the podcast. Thanks.